And it's been a good one. And finding peace in a chaotic world. And I think all of us have found a little extra peace in the chaotic world we live in. But you know, the takeaway last week wasn't rocket science. If you can't remember all the scriptures and all the takeaways, just get to Jesus and hold tighter. Just get a hold of the Lord and hold on tight, and you'll be fine. God is so good. You know, have you ever awakened at 2:33 in the morning and you're like this? Or you made your nightly journey and you came back and you laid down. And you lay down because you want to go right back to sleep, right? So I don't know about you, but I try to say, mind, don't work. And I kind of do this just enough to sleep, but I memorize my way through the house, so I don't even try to open my eyes. Because I don't want these cogs to start turning. Because you're like me, and I'm like you. We always got a lot on our mind. That's just life, isn't it? I mean, so I'm hoping, you know, I can lay down and go right back to sleep. But it seems like every so often when I lay down, it's like this. Not. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there? It's not an age thing either. I mean, it's a little different as you get older, but it's young or old. There you are. The brain is ticking. It's 3 in the morning, and I don't know. I don't know if maybe you're in junior high and you're moving to high school and you're going to be a green freshman the next day. I mean, there's all these things at every facet of life. I don't know if you're graduating high school and it's your first time of college. I don't know if it's like some of these college graduates. You're graduating, and now I've got to go into the real world. What am I going to do? I've got a good job. I've never been there before. Right out of college, I'm starting my first job, and what's it going to be like? I'm hired. I'm not saying some of y'all are going to feel that way. Or maybe you're in your 30s and you got 2 kids and you're trying to feed a family, and you're Financial Peace University folks, and you're trying to be out of debt, and you're keeping a roof over your head, and you're faithful to God, and you've got a family to feed, and money's tight. Maybe you're in your 40s, 43, 44, 45. Maybe you've been the latest victim of a layoff or a downsizing, you know, and there you are in the middle of the night. Or maybe you're in your 50s, you see, this could be for anybody. And now you're in a career change. And really, in most cases, to change careers in your 50s can be fairly stressful. Some of y'all can relate to that. Or maybe you're in your middle 60s, which, just by the way, in case you want to know, I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. You're thinking, well, where's my grandkids? I thought they'd go come see me. They never do. My retirement plans, I've got to play a little catch-up if I'm going to be able to retire. Maybe things didn't go just the way you thought. And your mind races. Are you with me? Is everybody with me? And your mind races. And then the next thing you know, you begin to worry. And then the next thing you know, it's potentially you begin to feel the pressure of the whole thing. And then before you know it, there's anxiety can even sets in. Fear, anxiety, trepidation, restlessness, insecurity. If you can relate to me, say amen. So what does all this mean? Let me tell you, it means you're human. Look to your neighbor and say, you're human. And then go, I think. No. I think. You're just human, y'all. Doesn't mean you're emotionally underdeveloped. Doesn't mean you're dumb or stupid. Doesn't mean you're demon possessed. Doesn't mean you're a failure. Doesn't mean your parents have failed you or you failed your children. It doesn't mean any of those things. It does not mean that you are not a Christian. Christians battle worry and anxiety and the pressures of this world. We battle. I mean, we have a victory. I'm getting to the victory. The whole message will be about the victory. I'm just setting the table. Christians battle. I think there's an argument possibly because we read in Hebrews that Jesus felt and experienced everything we feel or experience but was without sin. Some of y'all remember that scripture? But if you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and just for a reference, Matthew 26 and Luke 22, you find Jesus prayed three times that he wouldn't have to drink the cup that was before him. And I think, and when I started this series, there's an argument that worry and anxiety is not sin. It's more attached to us emotionally. But I know that could be a theological debate. I understand that. But when Jesus was in the garden, I think he felt the pressure and the worry and the anxiety, because I got scripture to back that up. Everybody hear what I'm saying? He was able to do that without sin, so I think it's even possible that some could argue that Jesus experienced anxiety. His heart pumped so hard, it said when he was praying in the garden, that he shed tears like blood drops. It wasn't blood if you really look at the scriptures close. So it was an intense situation that he was in, and even if you could argue that he was anxious, get this with me. Are you ready for this? It's easy. He didn't stay anxious. Even though he was going to a cross that we can not really truly fathom. Even though he was going to suffer beyond even our imagination, and all of us that may have seen and watched the Easter story three or four decades, we can't fathom what was really going on. See, when pressures of life and the pressures and the worries of life are coming, it's a guarantee. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. He told us, he was preparing his disciples, and he went on to say, and I've used this scripture several times, but take heart, he's overcome the world. Jesus is the answer. Okay, if you're a 7-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy that's also under the gun more than ever in our society, our children are under the gun. Yeah, believe me, can you imagine what they face at school? Pray for our kids. Pray for our teachers. Pray. But when anxiety comes and worry comes and pressure comes, we have a choice to make. We have a decision to make. And watch this. You can choose anxiety. And I understand sometimes it comes like a flood. Don't misunderstand me. But when it comes, you can choose to wallow in the anxiety and default and go down under it. Or you can choose to handle it God's way. And now for roughly 3 months with a couple of timeouts for Easter and that, I've been teaching you how to handle these pressures God's way. And can I tell you something? God's way works. You can choose anxiety. You can choose God's way. You can live under the gun, or you can live in faith. Somebody say amen. And when you live in faith, I will promise you, you will have more peace wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord. And it even says in the scripture, in the peace of God which transcends all understanding. Let's read the verses we studied for months in Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, I still like the NIV that says gentleness, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Let's read that together. Do not be anxious about anything. And we have been very real and transparent and open about that's what God's Word says. That's how we can live, but it can be hard. That's okay with the Lord. He knows it. Do not be anxious about anything. Paul, writing from prison, he wrote this letter, this book of the Bible, from prison. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, well, let's say everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I love this verse. Y'all want to read it together? We don't always. Let's do it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. And here's the verse we have a hard time memorizing. And so we just learned last week, just get in closer with Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. We can ask God for help. God is there for us. But we have a choice when these pressures come. We can do it our way, the flesh's way, and still get beat to a pulp, or we can do it God's way. But when we do it God's way, and we're kind of going to end the day where we started several months ago, the peace of God comes. It's called calm. Can I hit that real quick, Stephen? And I may want to hit it again as I make the points. Celebrate God's presence. We see that in the scripture we just wrote. Then number two, we ask God to get involved. And I shared this a couple times the last few months. One of the most powerful prayers on the planet is what? Help! Well, at least one of you remember it. But I bet most of you have prayed it a few times. Am I the only one that prays that prayer? I pray a lot of help prayers, and I pray in my spiritual language a lot. Then I know I'm doing okay. So we've got to ask God, and then hell, we have to leave it in His hands. That can be difficult, right? I've got this situation. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm celebrating. I'm asking Him to be involved in my life or answer to this prayer or this situation. And then I've got to leave it with Him and expect Him to do the work. But we have a tendency to take it back. And then last M is meditate on these good things. And again, if you can't remember the verse, just hold tighter to Jesus. But we meditate on the Lord. We meditate on His Word. We meditate on His ways. Whatever's honorable, good, lovely, pure, commendable, whatever's excellent, say it. Think on these things. Calm. C-A-L-M. And, you know, novel idea. And I started preparing this series late last year. And in the last few months, I'm actually starting to practice calm. C-A-L-M. In my devotional life and my prayer life. And guess what? It works. It's working for me. And I struggle just like you do. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that I struggle just like you do. So let's break it down. So we wrap this series up. Number one, celebrate God's goodness. The Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Stay with me. Simple principles. When the pressure's on, turn your attention away from the problem. I know sometimes we have to problem solve. We have conflict to solve. But it can't be our focus. Let me say it a different way. Your problem and whatever's causing these things in your life, and they may need solved, and they may need to be addressed. We don't pretend like they're not there. There's some teaching out there that's a little off balance, so just pretend like they're not there. No, I don't see that in Scripture. But don't let the problems and the cares and the pressures of this life be your focus. Because when you make those your focus, and how many know that's hard to do? When you make them your focus, they've got your attention. More attention than is healthy for you. And the more you stare at it and make it your focus, the more that problem that's causing this pressure and anxiety will grow and magnify. And listen to this. It may not even be really growing and magnifying in reality, but it will grow and magnify up here. Can I get an amen? We need to practice the strategies of the Word of God and the strategy of the psalmist. In Psalm 121, the first couple of verses, David said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So when the problems are coming your way, celebrate Him. Get your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Give me an amen. I'm amening y'all too much. I'm done with that today. Lift up your eyes. Don't get your eyes on what's out here. Get your eyes on who's up there. And Jesus is not just, and the Bible said that He's standing at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and me. And when I look up, I can know Jesus has got my back. I can know Jesus is praying for me. I can know Jesus is in control. And then the reality of that, He said, I'm up there interceding, but I sent the Holy Spirit. And He's going to come and He'll be your comforter when you need comfort. He'll be your peace when you need peace. He'll be your counselor, John 17 said. Glory to Jesus. Celebrate the Lord! And He makes these principles a reality in our spirit and in our lives. Remember old Peter, and we give Peter a hard time, don't we? But he did walk on water for a little while. I haven't got that far yet. Matthew and the storm, and y'all know the story, and Peter's in the boat, and the winds and waves are blowing, and Peter said, Lord, I'm telling y'all, the presence of the Holy Spirit is in the house. Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, came to Jesus, but when he saw... See where his focus went? When he saw the wind, he was afraid, fear, anxiety, worry. Look, if I'm sinking in a storm, I'm worried. Some of y'all feel like that today. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Probably it wasn't as calm as that. When he shifted his gaze from his Redeemer and his Savior and looked at the waves, he began to sink. And church, for all of us, it'll sink us every time. It will take us out. This morning, listen to me, and there's no condemnation in this, what I'm getting ready to say, because we've all sank a few times if we're old enough. Not saying we went away from the Lord or anything like that, but I've been under it a few times in my lifetime. Anybody else? And I love Jesus just like you do. I believe in the power of God. But if you're sinking this morning, you kind of feel in some way there's no way out, and you tend to sink just a little bit. You usually don't sink like that. You sink gradually as you keep getting pounded. But I can guarantee you, if you're sinking this morning, you're going to have to change your focus. If you're sinking deeper and deeper in this morning, there's a 999 times out of 1,000 chance you need to get your eyes more focused on Him. I'll give you a 0.01% out on that. See, when you're sinking, you're looking in the wrong direction. Because trials are coming. Valleys are coming. Seasons in life are coming. And some are spring and some are winter. That's just all about life there. 1 Timothy 6 and 15 said, Jesus is the only sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Of course, we know He's Savior, and some of y'all may have a chance today to make Jesus Lord and Savior of life. But He's also the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And if I've asked Him into my life to be Lord and Savior, He's King of Dale and sovereign over Dale and sovereign over Dale's family and sovereign over Dale's circumstances. Do you believe that? Do you really, really believe that? Because when you're suffering or you're going through it, you've got to believe in your heart that Jesus is in control. You may not understand it, but you've got to keep your eyes here and not here. You've got to believe that Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is good. Jesus is for you and not against you. Jesus is going to make a way for you when there seems to be no way, because you're one of His children. Jesus comes through every time, church, come on. And Jesus is mightier. Say mightier. Jesus is mightier than your problems. I tell you, you need to clap to the Lord on that one. He's bigger. And we got some big problems. Jesus is bigger. Jesus is bigger. Jesus is bigger. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our lives. And He loves us. Am I preaching? I felt like I was a little too loud last week, Pastor. Whew. See, because according to the Bible, as far as His sovereignty and His children's life, the answer is yes, 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 yes. And I want to ask you something this morning, just a little nudge this way. Do you believe He's a merciful God? Do you still believe He's a God of grace? Do you still believe in your weakness His grace is sufficient? This morning, if you're living away from the Lord and you're bound in sin and sin's got you, do you still believe that His mercy and grace is sufficient to wash you and cleanse you and give you a brand new life? I do. I do. I do. I had the boys last night take something. You know, the Lord's here this morning knocking on the door of your heart. And the Scripture said, as anyone will open the door of their heart, He will come into their heart and live with them and them with Him. Do you believe this morning He's the answer to your sin? Do you believe this morning you can be forgiven of your sin? Do you believe this morning the grace and the power of God can set you free from addictions and bondages? Do you believe this morning that He loves you enough to lift depressions and anxiety and worry off of you? Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus loves you? We say it all the time. Do you believe Jesus loves you? Do you believe He's so sovereign He died for you? Do you believe He's so sovereign He carried your sins for you? Do you believe He's so sovereignly in love with you that He came out of that grave for you? You've got to believe it. Especially when the pressure's on. Because you can't think about the things you don't know. You sit up there at 2:30 in the morning like I do and build 10 bridges to nowhere. They lead into nowhere. You don't end up there. I don't know where I'm going sometimes, but I know who's going with me. Hallelujah. That's what you have to know. You have to know what's true and not dwell on what you don't know. And I just... So we rejoice. Come, we celebrate God's goodness. I spent half my message on the first point, and I got 10 points. I do have 4. Isn't He good? Celebrate His goodness. That's what you do know. There's hundreds of scriptures that tells us how good God is, and that's true. So stand on it. People say, "But Pastor, I need to have this question answered or that question." I go, "I can't answer that question or that question, but I can tell you who He is. And you can bank on that as one of His kids." And then, you know, C-A-L-M, ask. It's okay to ask. It's okay to say, "Help." Ask God for help. I want you to begin to integrate this little acronym in your life. Open your prayer life in the morning just celebrating the goodness of God. And I'll tell you, even in your private devotion, even when you're going through something, you may not get past the celebration piece. And you'll have a victory and a peace. But then ask Him. He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to lean in. You know why? You want to know why He wants us to ask Him? Because He wants to help. That's Sunday school material. It's because He wants to help. He wants to help you. Look to your neighbor and just gently, because I'm not funding on this one. He wants to help you. Say it. See, fear and anxiety and these things will trigger one of two things, and I wrote it down this way. It's a little catchy, but you can be a person of prayer or despair. Choose wisely. Psalm 50:15 said, David said, and the Lord said to him, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Has the Lord ever delivered you out of something and you knew it wasn't you, and he gets the glory? Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Ask, seek, and knock, church. Ask, seek, and knock. What are you going to do? Matthew 6:11, and I use the Lord's Prayer many times just for a prayer pattern, and I'm not going to say it all today. But what about just give me my bread, my daily bread? It's my daily help, my daily provision, both not just financially, but the daily grace that I need to live another day for Jesus, especially if I'm under it. Hebrews 4:16, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible, because it's a verse, of course, like all verses are to all the people of God, said, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Ask. Everybody say ask. And then having done so, number three, did you see how quick I got through that one? Leave it at the feet of the Lord. Once you celebrate who He is and He's undergirded you and you've asked Him for help, expect that He's going to do it. And I'm not teaching you some kind of hyper faith thing. If you ask somebody for something, do you expect them to do it usually? Okay. Boris nodded his head. I'm asking you for $1 million. Oh, that was not going to work. Ask God. He wants to help you. And when you ask Him, leave it. Expect Him to take care of your situation. Expect Him to intervene in your expect Him to help. And sometimes your faith is like this mountain, and sometimes your faith is like this mustard seed. But if you just got a little mustard seed faith, Jesus said that was enough. I've operated on mustard seed faith a lot of times. I didn't have enough to move a molehill, but I had enough to trust Jesus another minute, another hour, and another day. And once I asked Him and celebrate who He was, and I left it at His feet. And the peace of God that surpassed all understanding began to guard my heart and my mind. But you got to leave it there. Say, leave it there. You've got to let the Lord take charge. Let Him do it because He's willing to do so. In fact, He wants to be in charge of your life. And sometimes, and I'm not going to go there, that's what, you know, surrender could be the issue for some this morning. I can fix it. I'm asking, Lord, but I'll take care of it. I've been there. You know, when you take the car to the mechanic, and hopefully you've got a good one you can trust. I do, one for about 15 years. Do you expect him to fix your car? I mean, if you take it to somebody you don't trust yet, you really don't know, do you? But hear what I'm saying. You take your car to the mechanic, you explain a problem, and he may say, you know, I can get to it today, or it may be 2 days. Y'all know how that works. It depends. And he's going to troubleshoot, and are you going to leave? Do you leave your car with the mechanic, or do you stay there the whole time? Now, you may sit in the lobby. I go to the Subaru dealer, and man, I can take my laptop and my study notes. And when they're servicing my car, they got Starbucks coffee, they got snacks, they got Wi-Fi. I don't mind sitting there. It's better than my office. Amen. I got some Subies in the house. That's right. We're a little crazy about our Subarus. They say, you know, it's going to be about 3 days. I know what most of you do. You say, well, is it okay if I bring a blanket and a pillow and sleep on the floor? Anybody ever done that? I hope nobody raises their hand. Anything can happen. I'm old enough to know now anything can happen. Do you offer to stay and help fix it? Well, some of you that mechanically inclined may, but I'm not that mechanically. See, I know Pastor Jill just had car trouble, and I'm sure when the mechanic diagnosed it, Pastor Jill said, you know, I'm going to stay here and help you. Boy, her car would be in a lot worse shape, I'm telling you. Her and I are about the same when it comes to mechanics. Or do you hover over the mechanic while he's working like you do? Ooh, don't go there, Dale. Because if you do these things, you don't understand your relationship with your mechanic. You want a really powerful spiritual truth? Let him fix it! Profound. Deep. When you celebrate who he is, and you know in your knower he is who he says he is, and you've asked him to intervene in your life, and he already wanted to be part of your life before you even asked him anyway, and he knows what you're going through better than you know what you're going through. And when you've asked him, leave it in his hands. Leave it with him. Quit trying to fix it on your own. Quit trying to do it on your own. To have peace in your heart, we always have to do what we are supposed to do. But to have peace in our heart, we have to let him do what he's supposed to do. Or we, me, you, we mess it up every time. Give me up. Nope, I wasn't going to do any more amens. Hallelujah. Give me a big hallelujah. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You mess it up every time because you take him out. Okay, here we go. We're not going to do that anymore, are we? You are too. Not hardly any. You're going to do it again. You know why? Do you know why? You're human. But guess what? He's not. Okay. Raise your right hand. Come on, everybody. Humor me. And repeat after me. I hereby resign as master of the universe. When the Lord is ready for me to re-engage, he will let me know. Then in Philippians 8, and last but not least, he said, think about all these things that we've talked about for months. Isn't God's Word good? There's so much good stuff in there. We're in table talk now, going through the book of Acts. We can't even get through in half a chapter a week. It's so rich. And we're learning and we're growing. Meditate on good things. Let me just come over here. Because, see, worry is a Greek word that is a two-part word. The Greek word for worry is a combination of a verb and a noun. And the verb is to divide or dividing. And to divide, 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 the verb divide. And the noun that's attached to worry is the mind. So when you're worried, it divides your thinking. Can you anybody relate to that? See, to be anxious and be under it is to divide the mind. It's like allowing the flesh or the enemy to take a hammer to your thought lives, and pieces are going everywhere. When we're in the mode and we're sinking, instead of focusing on who he is, it begins to divide our mind. We worry about the past. You know, we worry about the past. We worry about the mistakes. And in the same breath, we worry about the future. Like, come on, worry about one another at least. Oh, it's a bigger picture than that, isn't it? See, when you're under it, it chops up your attention span. It chops up your thought life. It distracts you. They go everywhere. We worry about our past. We worry about our future. Worry and anxiety and pressure truly takes us out. And you may need to think about this for a while, because I had to think about it for a while. It takes us out of the here and now. Even though the here and now is some of the pressures, it takes us to the here and now, to the there and then. Or over here, over there, over yonder. Gratitude keeps us focused on the present and Him. Did I lose? What did I do with that? Did I not bring a bag up to the pulpit with me? I'd start to get worried. What happened to it? Is there a bag down there? Must have left him in the office. When life gives you lemons, freeze them, put them in the freezer, get them out of the freezer, and throw them at somebody. Oh, no, that's not the way that phrase goes. Jonathan, don't get any ideas. Well, I had a couple lemons I was going to toss you. Maybe that was going to be mean or something, if the wrong person called them, because I was just going to have fun with it. Look, when life gives you a lemon, what do? He'll make lemonade for you, because life is going to give lemons to good people, and you're good people. Life's going to give lemons to bad people. Life's going to give lemons to all people. The lemons are coming. Well, don't do it, Stephen. I was going to say, let's title this message, "The Lemons Are Coming." Don't do it, Stephen. Don't put that on the website. But when the life gives us lemons and we're having trouble being sweet, we don't have to suck on the lemons. You know what you look like when you're sucking on lemons? It'll make you miserable. And it's your choice. It's your choice. That's not out of your control. That's your choice. See, let's choose to focus on God's blessings today. Say today. If I gave you a minute, but I don't know if I want to give you some of my preaching time or not, I'm going to give you 15 seconds. Right now, today, irregardless of what you're going through, and a lot of us are going through stuff. I'm getting ready to share something I'm going through. I want you to just focus between you and Him and be grateful and thankful and meditate and think about the blessings in your life. Don't you go back. A lot of blessings back there too. Don't go out there. Don't go to tomorrow. What are you thankful for today? Today, I will live today. Yesterday is past. Tomorrow is not yet. I'm left with today. So today, I will live today. Relive yesterday? No. I will learn from it. I will seek mercy for it. I will take joy in it. But I will not live in it. The sun has set on yesterday. The sun has yet to rise on tomorrow. Worry about the future. To what gain? It deserves a glance and nothing more. I can't change tomorrow, until tomorrow. Today, I will live today. I will face today's challenges with today's strength. I will dance today's waltzes with today's music. I will celebrate today's opportunities with the day's hope. Today. About 6 weeks ago, I went. Y'all know I have my meeting place with the Lord, as so many of you do. Set a time and a place and keep your appointment with God. As many of y'all know my routine, I keep my Bible and my devotional on that table, and sometimes two devotionals. I go get my coffee and I go sit down, and there's one seat I sit in our living room. And a few weeks before that, as many of you know, I preached on a perfect storm. And we looked at a storm as when three different things happen at once that causes impossible situations. And we connected that to our own lives. And so in the last 6 weeks, there's been many times I find myself caught in a perfect storm. That personally, I'm getting hit from three different directions all at the same time. And some of it's good. Darla always tells me, said, yep, good stress is still stress. I think she's right about that. Some of it's tough, but it's all very stressful. One of the issues alone, at least for me, okay, because I don't claim to be anybody I'm not. I need His help. I told that group of boys last night, I said, as men, we need the Lord's help every day as much as you do. We haven't arrived. One of these storms would have been enough, but three at once. Spent some nights staring at the ceiling. And I know you do too. You know, the mind's going and you pray. You do pray. And I pray in tongues a lot because I know I won't miss the Spirit that way. In fact, I pray in tongues every day. My private devotions and in the middle of the night. And of course I do that for you as a church, but I'm talking about me. I was under it. Under it. Fight. Teaching y'all how to overcome it all. I sit down in that chair, and I'm not awake yet. And the minute I sit down in that chair, the Holy Spirit spoke. Now, I know God's going to speak to me, but I'm not thinking the minute I sit down. I mean, good Lord, I got to wake up. Come on. And I sit down. And the minute I hit the chair, the Lord said, trust me, Dale. I was so asleep, I wasn't even thinking of the perfect storm. Trust me, Dale. And I literally did this in the chair. He said, put your faith in me. He said, you've trusted me in the little things all your life. You can trust me with greater things. And then my mind's eye began to work. It wasn't a vision. And I began to reflect on all the times we were under the gun and we trusted Him. And He always came through. For about 10 minutes, He took me back. Mile markers are good. You don't want to live there, but they're good to remind you. And I had 12 to 15 thoughts And at least I thought they were my thoughts. About all the times that the Lord had tangibly taken care of us when we trusted Him. And I could go into all those I want for sake of time. Boy, I'd like to. And after about 10 minutes of me just all these pictures in my mind of all these times, the Holy Spirit goes, well, how did you like that? And I went, that wasn't me, Lord. That was You. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding come on my heart and my mind. And a calm came to my mind and my heart that is beyond all understanding. Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for who You are. And we believe You're sovereign. And I'm praying this, Lord, over my flock, that they would have those sovereign moments where You come, where You come, where You come in the midst of. The Bible's full of stories where You come in the midst of. I pray, Lord, that we've been in just a few verses for weeks and weeks, that they've gotten in our spirit and they've gotten in our mind and they've gotten in our heart, they've gotten in our life. Great is Your faithfulness. Even now, and listen to me as I pray, church, give us a time. Give the men and women of God in this house today. We celebrated a while ago, but give them a moment now, Holy Spirit, as You make an altar. I felt like this morning I was praying that He wanted the whole room to be the altar this morning, not just the front of the church. But Holy Spirit, ignite our thinking so that we can reflect on the times that You were faithful to us. Do it now, Holy Spirit. Now I want to do this together.